Welcome to Commission Impossible. I am Scott Fish, and with me, as always, is my Commission Impossible co-host, Ryan McDowell. I don't know when I started throwing the name in there twice in the first 5 seconds. Maybe I'll keep it. We'll see. We've become known for our commissioning over the years, got together to start a podcast called Commission Impossible to help other commissioners out. I just did it. I'm just adding it all over the place, Ryan, for fun. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back on here with you talking some commish stuff.
Yes.
Answering some questions. So yeah, like you said last week, getting back into the routine, which is a good thing.
Getting back into the routine. And if you don't know, if you're new to the show, all of our episodes are evergreen, which means go back and binge them. We go over lots of emails and settings, league running, listener questions, commissioner type stories, league stories, whatever. If you have any of those, send them to us. Email us at commishpod@gmail.com. Now, on to the show. Ryan, I was thinking about the last episode in that league that is going into year 19. And they're like, what can I do that's 20 year, for our 20-year thing? Obviously, we talked about, you know, if you can't in the next year and a half make the live draft thing work, do it as a live draft on you know, online, on Zoom. Make sure it's a date that everybody can set aside that time to be live online. And what I thought of for doing for that, or just in general, maybe gain a montage together of some cameos of celebs or fantasy analysts. Like, you can pay small amounts of money for those, like, cameo type things of them doing different things. Maybe a montage, like, graphic wise, pictures of old draft boards or old draft, like, the sites they plan probably have them. They could take a trip down memory lane with some of that, like, before the draft starts, maybe like a digital magazine style or whatever. But like, they can, you know, look at stuff like that when you're on that live Zoom, or just email it to each other. Stuff like that. Or you could separately, if he's the commish, separately, like, have like a few questions, like favorite memory from the league, favorite or your worst move ever you made from the league, etc. And like, get those from each of the users and then compile them and reveal them to everybody, you know, either in email or on the site, or preferably in that live video version where people can all laugh and remember them and make fun of them. I think those came to me shortly after the show. So of course I didn't get them on that show, but I'm mentioning them right now. So hopefully that person, I can't remember who it was now, is listening to both these episodes so they can hear some of that.
Well, yeah, you told him you would continue to think about that, and I'm glad you did, because I really like all the ideas that you just mentioned. You know, really just something to make year 20 special, especially if this is largely the same group has been together for all of those years. Hopefully that's the case. But yeah, I really like the montage idea, like the questions, all of that sounds fun and mostly cheap.
The questionnaire, you know, type stuff, like pictures of the draft boards, that's all free, you know? So I might have to do some of this for our 35th coming up in a year and a half.
I love it.
Maybe this year, it doesn't have to be a 35th, we can think of something different. Maybe I'll do it for this year, because that just sounds fun to me. Why not make every year special, right, Ryan? Life's short.
Absolutely.
Ryan, there's a guy who has emailed us several times, and through the first few episodes, you know, his emails didn't quite fit with the various themes we've gone to. Connor, it's your time, man. It's your time. We're going to throw two of your emails together into one read here.
It's a Connor show.
At least the first two, because I think we got three or four emails that are going to be along the same lines here. So let's let Connor start us off.
All right. Connor from Austin, Texas. Connor said, I just listened to this week's episode. This is probably a couple weeks ago, and had a question to follow up on something you discussed near the end. What do you think is the root cause of dynasty leagues folding after year 3? Bad owners who weren't properly vetted, Does the league get stale? Some people gripe that Dynasty results in a very low turnover, which perhaps lowers the excitement after a first couple of years gone by. Or is it another cause, mix of several causes? Interested to know the reasons why Dynasty leagues don't often last. And then Connor followed that up. Also, do you think the three-year folding issue is more common in leagues amongst strangers than amongst friends? Do you think leagues with friends are just as likely to fold after that time? I'm heading into year two of a contract dynasty league started with friends, wondering if I can safeguard the league further against this issue. My one existing safeguard is that I have a special bowl year, year four, where we double all the prize payouts, and the incentive to stay is that the extra cost is split evenly across the entry fees for the first four seasons. Friends all seem to be looking forward to that year. I'm hoping this helps the league last at least 4 years. Yeah, lots of stuff there to unpack from Connor. I'll kind of go a little backwards. I love what he's done in his own league, adding some incentives to, you know, to keep people around. If you've paid, you know, if you've paid a small portion, maybe for a couple of years, and you know you're going to try to make it to that 4 year mark. So I love that. I do think that leagues, you know, with strangers, you know, we talk about safe leagues that Scott runs, and there's really just almost any league that you put together on Twitter or on a message board or whatever. I think those are definitely more likely to fold than a friends league, a home league. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Among strangers, there's a whole lot less commitment there and potentially less just connection to the other people. So you don't care about dropping it as, or a user that's in them might not care as much about dropping it. Absolutely. Same with you. Love the bowl league idea that the once every 4 years, it's not completely dissimilar to the, I mean, it is, but to the increasing levels of payouts and decreasing levels of entry fees to kind of make it easier to fill orphans and incentivize people to stay in the league longer. That once every four years bowl year, I love that. That's really awesome. I might have to I might incorporate something like that in the league. That's a really cool idea, Connor. Did you want to keep going back or did you want me to,
I don't think
it's much the vetting of owners, because we've seen so many, like even among our friends and people in the industry and analysts, they even do the same thing. I think weirdly, I think COVID has had a little bit to play in it, that people just completely overcommitted and they left leagues and then they started to realize, I can actually leave leagues. Like, I think before COVID, there was more of a sentiment than in Dynasty. It was more of a commitment. And I think once you broke down that wall of realizing leaving leagues was kind of more okay, which it is. It's fine. Like, if you don't like a league, leave it. I think once that broke down, I think more people are just like, yeah, I'll just leave leagues, you know? But maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. And I do think it's a mix of several reasons. I don't think there's one thing that we could point to as to why this is happening. You know, I do think there's a lot of things. I think people get bored with leagues.
Yep.
Much quicker than maybe happened years ago. There's simply just more leagues, right? I mean, in the past, and we're going back. I mean, we're going back 10 plus years at this point. You wouldn't leave a league because there weren't necessarily other options. Now, right. I mean, you could find a new dynasty league in literally 5 minutes.
Click to join type dynasty leagues on Sleeper, like people playing more creative leagues. So once creativity is a little more stale because you've tried it, you're like, okay, I'm going to leave and try something else. There's more creative leagues. Yeah, just a bunch of that. There's just more leagues to try.
Don't you think, and we've talked about this as well from a commission standpoint, but there used to be this negative stigma to leaving a league. I think over the years, I mean, we've kind of tried to eliminate that. But over the years, it's become much more acceptable that I'm out, I'm leaving this league. And, you know, however you're leaving the team, whatever kind of standing or shape you're leaving the team in, maybe doesn't really matter. For whatever reason, you're moving on, and the commission is left to figure it out.
Yep. I think there's a twofold on us doing that, in that, and it becoming a thing out there, is your invention of the dispersal draft makes it not as hard on the new teams, and they can, you know, jump into something fun and exciting, and the commissioner can run an extra thing that's fun and exciting. But also taking over a team, a new person taking over a team in a league, generally provides a little extra activity. So I think those positives are of swapping out an owner are out there a little more. So maybe that's helped decrease the negative stigma as well.
But do you think removing that negative stigma has led to
made it too easy?
Yeah, it's made it too easy. It's led to more, more orphan teams.
It's very possible. And the trend
essentially leagues falling apart.
Yeah. Yeah. And the trend of seeing redrafters jump more into dynasty because they don't want to fight 11 other people in a redraft league. They'd rather play 1 or 2 years in a dynasty league with a redraft mindset. We've listed like 6 different reasons this is happening. I don't think there's a root cause. I just think a lot of things have kind of came to a head at the same time. That's kind of caused this.
I agree.
It is what it is. I will say the closer knit group of friends and the more you vet, you're going to be more likely to have a decently strong league. And if you have a good commissioner with, you know, those dispersals and can find good owners to replace, you'll be fine. If Connor's the type of guy, type of commissioner that is creating a bull year every 4 years in a league, and I've read some of his other emails, I think he's going to be fine. You know what I mean? I don't know that he's super needs to safeguard his leagues against that. Let's go on to, oh boy, this is going to be a long one. Matthew from Michigan. And this kind of goes along the same lines. And it's a little bit of something we've talked about. Matthew says, "My favorite show is back," which I love. I love that this is your favorite show. "I enjoy this show so much. It inspired me to have a podcast of my own called Fantasy Profits." The S is a dollar sign. One of the S's. You'll have to guess which one. "This is a follow-up to an email sent a month before your hiatus." So he must have sent us an email right before our hiatus, like a year and a half, two years ago, whatever it was.
We probably never got to that one. So let's read this one instead.
We were a lot of emails behind even before we hit our hiatus. We had so many emails. "This is one of the two types of leagues I designed to solve the problem of owners playing dynasty like redraft for 1 or 2 years, then cashing out." That's weird that was like the last paragraph of what I said before. It's almost like you ran right into it. "I created and run nickel leagues, and this is a quick summary of my base nickel leagues." I don't know what nickel leagues are. Maybe there's something to this that's nickel-y. 5-year dynasty league, one-time entry fee to league. We've talked about that before. To trade your own original first or second round rookie pack that is not in the current fantasy season, you must pay a tax for each pick to the legacy empire pot. So you pay an entry fee, and if you trade future picks, you have to pay an extra amount that goes into an empire pot. Ryan, how do you feel about that just off the start?
Love it already. Already love this.
Like, the year is already paid for, but this is just extra. If you're like all the years are paid for, but this is just extra.
I want to see where he's going with the legacy pot, but I like it. I think potentially protecting managers against themselves. Let's see what happens here.
Yeah. "Each year, the winner of the playoffs gets 14% of the entry fees. 12% of the entry fee is saved for a year 5 end of the league tournament. So like at the end of this thing, there's a tournament. 18% of the entry fees goes to the leader of legacy points. And I'm going to guess that is not dissimilar to your all-time standings type of thing when you run a multi-year league like this. Let's go over here. All rookie pick taxes get split and paid out to legacy point leaders. First place 50%, second place 30%, third place 20%. So basically that legacy empire pot or whatever pays out towards teams who have done so much in the years of the league. So they have a legacy point system here. They got a champion through sixth place that gets legacy points based on playoff finish. You get regular season win legacy points, and that you get an X amount for each team in the league. You got a regular season high points legacy points, and you get X amount for every team in the league, it looks like. You get some legacy points if you win a toilet bowl, and first place and second place for the toilet bowl. So basically, you know, the playoffs, you get points, regular season wins and points, you get legacy points, and then toilet bowl, there's two spots for legacy points. If you get two consecutive championships, you get a bundle of legacy points too. If you win 3 to 5 consecutive championships, that'd be impressive. To win 3 straight in a 5-year league, that'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it, Ryan?
That would be quite a feat. You would definitely be loading up on the legacy points that way.
Yeah, yeah. You get legacy points for that, undefeated season legacy points, players of the year, like high-scoring quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, league, et cetera, you get legacy points. And you get legacy points for high-scoring rookie at each position. That's a lot of legacy points. So each year, the winner of the playoffs gets 14% of the entry fees. I don't see a second place. So basically, almost all the payouts, it appears, are based on the legacy points. Am I reading that right?
Well, I see 30% total, 12% of the entry fee for the year 5 tournament, 18% of the entry fee for the legacy points after year 5. So we're 30% there. And then you're left 14%. With 7%. I guess that's 14 times 5, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're only paying out the league champ every year.
You're only playing out the league champ every year, but what teams are earning every year outside of that 14% of the league champ every year is legacy points legacy to go points. Towards
yep.
to go towards that 12 or the 12 legacy points to go towards. Yeah. The, okay. Okay. I think I understand, but I would love some clarification if there's more payouts than that, but it does feel like most of this is legacy.
Yeah. I think we found all the payouts.
Yeah. You have to win in order to get a payout up until year 5, which I'd like to see more than that for payouts, but you know, maybe that makes year 5 absolutely incredible. And it keeps people invested right through to year 5 because you've already paid. It's a one-time entry fee. So,
yeah, I like this a lot. You know, I'm feeling drawn more and more, I guess.
It's a spreadsheet league, right?
that is true. Yeah. You're going to need your Google Docs for this one, but, I am feeling more and more drawn to leagues with a definite ending point.
Yes.
Me too. I like the idea of that more and more. And, you know, if you play 5 years and, you love all the people in your league and everything works out great, well, good. Just you get to another draft or another auction and try it again.
Yep. I think the type of league I'm starting to gravitate towards in my head, and we've talked about so many of these, is an empire league where it doesn't have to be consecutive, 3 years minimum, 5 years max. So if a person wins 2 times in the 5 years, it ends on the second win, or it ends after 5 years. But the 3-year minimum at least gives you at least a little time to play. And maybe you have a chance for a slight rebuild in there. That way I feel like you're joining a dynasty and you know, it's 3 to 5 years, but there's also some, a little bit of a oh my God, could it end this year for that third and fourth year? I don't know. It's a little something to it. I'll think more on it, but I'm trying to figure out what my next league will be because I am really, really getting low on leagues. Say no for 7 years, Ryan. Your leagues start to fall to the side.
you got to get in a new league. I wish, listen, everybody since got a league invite. Invite Scott to your dynasty league.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I want. 100 invites in my inbox to a dynasty league. Let's do one more. You want to read this last one?
Let's do one more. Shannon from New London, Wisconsin. Shannon says, I've listened to almost all of your shows and tried to do a search this option. Haven't heard you talk about it yet. To prevent orphan teams, have you ever talked about having managers put a security deposit down? It can be an amount that would be most conducive to everyone in the league, substantial enough that everyone will not leave their team and assets in ruin. There'd be $50 or $500. The amount should be enough that managers will think twice about just quitting or tanking. We all have to put security deposits down anytime we rent something. If the manager wanting to quit does the legwork of finding a suitable replacement for themselves, the commission approves, he gets 100% of the deposit back. If he does not, the amount he gets back is laid out by the bylaws, depending on how the team is at the time. On MFL, it could be by power rankings, amount of FAB, or draft pick allotment. We also have a draft pick value chart for our specific league. Determining value would be easier in that situation. I don't do this in my own leagues, but I like the idea of some type of deposit, and I like the idea of get back. If you leave the league in good standing, you get that back. You know, you've got all your draft picks, you've got some value to your team. And, you know, Shannon talked about different ways to determine if there is value or not. But, basically, if you're leaving the league in good standing, you get part or all of that security deposit back. And if not, you're helping offset the cost of finding a new manager. Or not the cost, but future league fees, things like that.
Right, right. Exactly. I agree with all of that. I like the idea. I feel like it might be a little harder to find owners be willing to pay a deposit. I think there's a lot of owners that would just, you know, prefer to pay 2 or 3 years up front than a deposit. And if they leave, they do whatever. I will say in public legal leagues, every single legal operator I know out there for Dynasty has a deposit. A lot of them treat them differently, whether it's you get it back when the league folds, or you get it back after X amount of years, or you get I know one place does whatever your team sells for. You get the difference or whatever between the deposit and the what the team sells for. Generally, you see deposits equal to the entry fee. At the higher levels, it's usually half the entry fee. It really depends on the league. So that's kind of the basics of what they're like out there in the public league arena. But in private leagues, having an owner do that, I mean, I like it, especially if they can get it back, if they find the new owner that the commission approves of, or if the team is in some certain standing or whatever. I like some of the ideas put forward there.
Yeah.
Do you think it'd be hard to get people to do it? Do you think it'd be hard to get people to use it, to do one?
I guess it really just depends on how you frame it as far as, is it prepay or is it a deposit? I guess it really does depend on just what you call it, I guess. Right. I was hesitant on the, you find your own replacement. I don't really like that. I would, as a commission, I'd rather find replacements myself. Yep. So you know, that specific detail I would disagree with Shannon on. But in general, I understand what he's trying to say there.
So another way to look at this potentially for Shannon or for people listening is, I think an interesting way to do it is to have people pay. If you want to go the route of the deposit, instead of saying a deposit, why not have like pay 2 years to start? Let's say it's 2024. You pay 2024 and 2025. And then next year you pay for 2026. So you're always paying one full year out. And if you leave, you either forfeit that, or, you know, someone who buys the orphan, or what, like someone who pays for the new team, if they don't want to pay the full amount, whatever the difference is, they pay it back. I don't know. But instead of deposit, what if you're just paying an extra year out? I mean, is that a different, is that a better way to look at it?
I think it is. And I know of some leagues that do that exact thing. So I think that would, you know, I think that would work and be understandable from from a manager standpoint.
League safe, you can definitely take future payments, or you can adjust the year one payment to something different, you know, something double.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. And you're right. All of these questions are kind of tied together. Just the importance of keeping leagues together, keeping managers in your leagues, and different ways to do that. So good job putting this show together, Scott.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to stop. Get a few of the same vein under one episode, Ryan. Let's just stop there. Some good questions. Glad we finally got to Connor for a couple. I know he's got a couple more. Maybe we'll hear more from him next week. And man, I think I'm gonna do the questionnaire thing for my league.
Cause I like that idea.
I'm going to tell a little story. This might go after the credits. Let me wrap it up now. And that's another episode of Commission Impossible. Make sure to give us a 5-star review, or whatever is a really good review on whatever you listen to podcasts on. Tell your friends, your league mates, your commissioners about our show. Follow me on Twitter, ScottFish24. Follow Ryan on Twitter, RyanMC23. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. I did something, and I wonder if it's down here. Oh, I'm not going to be able to find it. So I'm going to tell a little story. This might go after the credits, roll. I'm looking for it to show you, because I can edit this, because I don't care. But I don't know where it is. Son of a monkey. Now I'm just annoyed, Ryan. Oh, I found it. Okay. All right. Quickly before we leave. So most of my home league has been together for 20 years. Like about 2001 is when I think 7 or 8 of the current members were all together, and it's been a long time. So in one of those early years, it's a one quarterback league. One of the owners in the third round picked this guy right here, Jake Plummer. I have a starting lineup Jake Plummer figure with me.
That's bad.
Yeah. So one of the guys picked Jake Plummer in the third round of a one QB league. And mind you, Jake Plummer probably was never draftable in a one QB league. And we have given him crap
that feels, for that. That feels a little early.
We've given him crap for it for like 20 years. So I can't wait to present him with this at our live draft. But
you got that specifically for him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
It might turn into a loser trophy or something. But That makes me just makes me think the questionnaire thing would be fun. I would love to hear what people's favorite memories, worst memories, like biggest mistakes, like what, like over a 30 plus year league where most people have been in 20 plus. God, there's got to be some interesting answers in that, especially if I give them all summer to think of it, not talk to each other and just realize we get to find them all out at the draft. But yeah.
Yeah. I think
anyway,
I'm going to do that. I would be interested to hear some of those responses as well. Even, yeah, you know, even not obviously not being in the league, not knowing those people, I think still, still kind of a fun idea for sure.
I think it'd be hilarious.